As was mentioned, my name is Bert Wilkie, and I'm going to be leading in the discussion about this topic of quality improvement and how it intersects with research in the public health laboratory community. And then Karen Breckenridge is going to talk about some very specific examples of how this has been utilized. Neither one of us have any disclosures to report or relationships to disclose. It's interesting, this discussion on quality improvement is covering kind of four very important but very different aspects of public health. There's a local health perspective, there's a statewide accreditation kind of approach, there's a disease-specific approach we're talking about, and now we're talking about the public health laboratory component of public health, which is a basic kind of infrastructure of public health along with statistics, epidemiology, et cetera. So the public health laboratory and laboratorians in general have for a long time been very much involved in quality control, quality assurance, quality improvement, and actually the PDSA actually emanated from laboratorians in its first iteration. So it comes from that field of laboratory science. And laboratories have also been very much known for their work in the basic research arena. But of late, we've been looking in the public health laboratory community at public health systems research, which is defined by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation as research which seeks to answer questions like what works in public health and how should we best structure, fund, and support our public health system, which is very much different than a typical laboratory kind of research activity which deals with specific scientific endeavors. APHL, the Association of Public Health Laboratories, going down this pathway of trying to clarify for its members and others in public health about what it means by research has described research in this way as the investigation, experimentation, evaluation aimed at discovery and interpretation of information or the practical application of such information. And we define research as being, these are not obviously all the areas of research, but the ones that public health laboratories tend to be involved with, basic, applied, clinical, translational, and systems and services. Very briefly then, basic, of course, deals with using hypothesis-driven kind of scientific research at the basic medical or public health laboratory level. Most of the public health laboratory community doesn't really get involved too much in basic research. Applied research, some laboratories do get involved in that, but that is also seen as something where we're taking an idea and really trying to demonstrate its applicability in the public health setting. Clinical research, again, not too many public health laboratories get involved in clinical research, but there are some examples of that where clinical procedures, for example, are tested out using public health laboratories and other public health settings. Translational research, and that we heard reference to that already, has become very, very important in the academic arena and in the public health arena, where the idea is we're taking basic research ideas and moving them into the personal health care applied clinical research area and then into the community, so that whole concept of moving a research idea along a continuum. But the systems and services research that public health laboratories are getting into for the first time, I would say, to assess the impact of the services of of many parts of the public health sector on how it really affects the public's health. This is surprisingly an area which has been kind of new for the public health laboratory community. We have, as a community, the public health laboratory community, defined what are the core functions of public health laboratories. We first did this in 2000, and there are 11 such functions, core functions. One of those is research. But back in 2000, we really defined that research very narrowly as doing research in the areas of technology, methodologies, analytical processes. In 2010, when we revised the core functions, we defined research activities more broadly as improving and expanding the scientific and policy basis of public health laboratory practice in support of the public health system. So we really started thinking about this in a much broader context. So what changed over the decade between 2000 and 2010? One thing is that the public health laboratories through APHL really recognized that they don't exist in isolation, and that the public, the laboratory information, data and information that's generated is really derived from a system at every level, at the local level and at the state level. And so the public health laboratory itself is only a part of that system. That system includes other clinical laboratories, agricultural laboratories, environmental testing laboratories, the individuals who utilize laboratory data. So that system is really a concept which was adopted and defined in 07. The association also then created this research advisory council to try to say and determine how can we really utilize this idea of systems research and apply it in the public health setting. In 06, not in roughly the same time period we talked about, there really needs to be somewhat analogous to an accreditation process, this Laboratory System Improvement Program, LSIP, which has been evolving over the last 5 years. This all culminated in 2010 with a public health report supplement which was dedicated entirely to the idea of public health laboratory systems. And in fact, now in the new Healthy People 2020, there's a new objective which talks about measuring the quality output of laboratory systems in support of public health. So the Research Advisory Council of APHL was really designed to do the following: to collect information on how to strengthen the public health laboratory system, to identify and help to share best practices, to engage stakeholders, and really to inform the strategic planning aspects of APHL. And we, in the Research Advisory Council of APHL, came up with basically six research questions that we wanted to address to the public health laboratory community. What is the impact of public health laboratory systems on the public's health? What quality systems approaches really work best in ensuring quality? How do we measure and address this problem of public health laboratory workforce? What do laboratories need in the area of laboratory information systems? What are the characteristics of an ideal public health laboratory system? And finally, what are the benefits of new technology to the public health laboratory system and ultimately to the public? The last one being introduced because of the sometimes fear that technology drives what we're doing as opposed to us really controlling and utilizing the technology as it needs to be used. So what APHL did in conjunction with CDC is to establish this innovations grants process, which is a competitive process, asking for applications, specifically addressing one of those six questions and awarding those projects based on their possible generalizability, the mechanisms that they established that they were going to use to evaluate their grants and their activities, and their engagement in partners. It's in that realm that we're going to have Karen Breckeridge come up now and talk specifically about some of those innovation grants and what they've been able to accomplish. This is a student of mine who's done some policy laboratory research at the University of Vermont. So thank you.
And there's Bert's contact info. Thank you for coming out this afternoon. Greatly appreciate it. First question, do any of you partner with your public health laboratory? That's good to know that you know that you have one. Well, this hopefully we can maybe hear some opportunities that might give you some chances to do some partnering with your public health laboratory. And as Bert had mentioned, we worked with CDC through our cooperative agreement, and we've been able to award 13 grants, and they've ranged between $9,000 and $20,000. They were for a 6 to 10 month project. We have conducted two rounds. Last spring, we awarded 7 grants, and then in the fall, we awarded 6 additional grants. And I really commend those that received their grants in the fall because they had a much shorter time to get their projects done. And our membership is both state and local public health laboratories. Fortunately, we had enough applicants from both, and we were able to award 10 state and 3 local laboratory awards. What I wanted to just share with you was a little bit of information about the grants that we did award And as we mentioned, each one was in regards to one of our research questions. Question number one, we had three awards. We did not sit down and say, okay, we have to have one for each research question. We just evaluated these on the merits of their application, how well they met the grant requirements. The Southern Nevada one was a project that this had been started in the states, but had not really been, in the health department, but hadn't really involved the laboratory before. So this way they were able to bring the laboratory testing piece into the surveillance part. In Texas, they were trying to improve the processes in their lead screening program. They did a project using learning to use Lean. And they have found that they've decreased turnaround time. And we try to be very flexible. Some of the Lean training they were able to do is because they had extra money in their grant, and we're very accommodating to try to be able to be as flexible as possible. The rotavirus exercise in Wisconsin, we actually had been awarded some ARRA funding, and it was on vaccine-preventable diseases, so we were actually able to incorporate that into our innovation grants and do some surveillance funding in Wisconsin. Our question number two, we had three awards given there as well, and for example, Delaware came up with a really good comparison of the various agencies that regulate the laboratories and trying to look at ways to get these agencies to potentially in the future work together. I think they are dreaming there, but we're hoping that they can at least find ways that activities that you do to meet the regulations in one agency can help cross-reference over to the other and you don't have to do the same thing twice. Arizona did something similar, but they specifically worked with their environmental laboratories, trying to get a crosswalk, again, so that you know when you've developed one area that you can utilize that for your ISO standards or for whatever other regulatory is coming in. Michigan, I'm glad to see we had a lot of Michigan representation here. They're using Lean Six Sigma and are being able to bring this into the pre- and post-analytical phases, which is going to decrease your turnaround time, especially with better information on specimen collection. So hopefully you'll be hearing more about that if you haven't already. Our workforce, public health laboratory workforce shortage question, no awards were given. There were two proposals submitted. They did not meet all of the qualifications, but what we did was sent those over to our Department of Continuing Education and Training and encouraged them to work on. And at the end, I'll tell you, we've actually done something different with that question recently. The laboratory information systems, again, we've come up from Wisconsin a nice chart and booklet to help a laboratory go through the process of choosing a laboratory information system. Question number five, we had four projects that worked on the ideal public health system. The city of Milwaukee built on quality assurance activities and improvement activities that were identified in their assessment. Michigan, again, got a second one in the second round, and they developed a workshop to help educate your legislatures, which is very important as we know that funding is a huge issue for us all. Montana worked with three other states to develop a workshop on quality system improvement. We're actually now taking that workshop and furthering it and putting it into a nationwide program. Minnesota is improving their networking and communications with their clinical community. The city of San Francisco is able to go with question number six and actually look at new technology, and they've decreased turnaround time for diagnosis of TB, which is really, really helpful. Those of us in the laboratory field know that the culture can take over 21 days, and so to have this new technology have time to evaluate it is just so exciting. Arkansas did a lot of work on the K2 spice exposures. They've actually, this has been the one project that has now been accepted for publication in the Nationwide magazine. He has taken this project and done presentations for youth groups talking about the dangers of the ways that parents can watch out for their children. We laugh. He was asked by a church group to give a presentation during a church homily. So we've given him now the, we've taken this project back to church, and it's been part of a church homily. But I did want to just stress a little bit, since I know many of you are from the local health departments, I kind of pulled the local health department's projects for their benefits. The city of Milwaukee had no money to further their project, but they were able to get a laboratory advisory committee together, they've put a strategic plan together, and they've strengthened the bonds in the city. So without having this funding, they wouldn't have gone this far. Again, as I started to mention, the city of San Francisco, with the decreased turnaround time for the TB testing, and they had new collaborations with other health department agencies in their health department. So they've been very pleased how many doors this opened by saying, here, we're doing something for you all. Southern Nevada, again, it's a way to capture the trends in the community and be able to give this information back to the epidemiologists in a timely manner so that they're able to look for those trends, they're able to accurately predict what is out there in the community. And as was mentioned earlier, resources are one of the major issues that many of these improvement programs don't take place. So this is our way of showing how exciting it is with small pots of money to be able to have some improvement activities. And then just to let you know, future opportunities, in case you're with a laboratory, want to partner with your laboratory, right now we have a RFP out for CLIA training grants. CLIA is the Laboratory Regulatory Agency. And as of last night, 13 awards were sent out to 13 public health laboratories. And then we've just obtained funding. There's an RFA going out next week. So think of ways for you to partner with your state or local laboratory. Thank you.
Just give a round of applause to all of our speakers and have them come up to the front to answer some questions and answer questions.